I remember when I was growing up, particularly in a commercial setting, one of the things that you would see if there were chemicals that were being stored, and they were poisonous chemicals, one of the things that you would see is it used to be this big like skull and crossbones on it. I'm sure most of you all have seen that before. It may still be that way today, but I don't see it as much as I used to. But essentially what that was, generally it was really big. And the reason it was because they wanted to make sure that you saw it. The reason why was because within the confines of that bottle or box or whatever it was that had that big skull and crossbones on it, that meant that there was something dangerous that was in there. Often it would be something like poison, something that could hurt you, something that could hurt other people. And they wanted to make sure that that message got across. Well, today I want to present to you some skull and crossbones. You know, we're continuing our series on transforming turmoil and finding peace in the storm. And today we want to talk about the poison of bitterness. So grab your Bible. We're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 12 in just a moment. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I pray that your day is going well. Just a moment ago, I mentioned to you that we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of Hebrews, and we're going to look specifically at two verses over in Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 14 and 15. So go ahead and turn there, find that in your Bible. A minute ago, I mentioned that poison of bitterness. Now, bitterness is one of those things that is subtle. Bitterness is one of those things that just kind of creeps into your heart very quietly, but in the process of doing so, it contaminates everything that it touches. Now, some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you, I would be willing to bet all of you at some point have had a touch of bitterness in your life. Some of you have dealt with it in a God-pleasing way. Some of you have come through those things and you understand the value of not having bitterness within your heart and not having bitterness within your life. Some of you today might be going through a very tough patch in your life where there's a lot of bitterness for whatever circumstance or reason. And if that's you, I know right now that you just tried to defend your position of bitterness. Yeah, you thought about what it was, even though I don't know what it is. And a lot of you said, well, I have the right to be bitter in that situation. Well, all I'm asking you to do today is listen to what the Holy Spirit tells you in regard to bitterness. Remember, it's subtle. It creeps into hearts and lives of people, and it does so very quietly. All the while, it contaminates every single thing that it touches. Now, the writer of Hebrews gives us a warning against this poison. He is urging us to pursue peace and to pursue holiness so that we may not fall short of God's grace. Now, today, we're going to explore how bitterness can take root in our hearts and take root in our lives. And also, we're going to examine the destructive effects that bitterness has on each and every one of us. Along with the fact that we can't just leave you hanging with bitterness, we also are going to discuss the path to healing through reconciliation and forgiveness. Now, it's funny because I'm just sitting there thinking, some of y'all just said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to hold on to this bitterness. Well, I'm just urging you today, listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say to you, okay? The scripture reading today comes out of Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to look specifically at verses 14 and 15, which say this. It says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Will you pray with me? Father, as we come to you today, again, we ask for your leadership in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, we know that bitterness is one of those situations that's tricky. It's often difficult for us to deal with it because, Father, Satan wants to tell us that we are right and justified in our bitterness. Lord, today I pray that first and foremost we would give heed to what it is that you tell us in our hearts and our lives about bitterness. Lord, you know each and every one of us far better than we know even our own selves. So, Lord, you know where those roots of bitterness are. Today, Lord, I pray that you would convict the hearts and lives of those that may be holding on to that bitterness. And Lord, I pray that they would be delivered of that today. And as they move forward, that they may do so with the Holy Spirit freely moving in their heart and in their life. Lord, as always, I pray that for these moments that you would use me as your messenger. Lord, I pray that through your word, you would be lifted up, and that the words that come through this broadcast today truly would be your words and not just mine, not just from mere man, but Father, the words that might be spirit flow through each and every one of our hearts and lives. So Lord, right now, I just pray you'll bless our time, speak to our hearts as only you can. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks. Well, remember a moment ago, I was talking about how bitterness is one of those things that just kind of presents itself quietly. It sneaks into your heart, as it were. See, bitterness very rarely presents itself openly. You know why? Because most of the time, if we say what we're really feeling inside, we know how heinous that would sound if it came out of our mouths. I've always said this: if we open our mouth and we say it, then that means we've got to own it. Yeah, and we ourselves know that we're not going to say something that might make us look poorly in the eyes of other people. So this one thing about bitterness is it it very rarely presents itself out openly where people can see it. Instead, what it does, it begins as a small seed. Yeah, you've heard this expression before. It begins as a small seed. Perhaps a hurtful word that is said. Maybe it's something like a betrayal. Maybe it's an unresolved conflict, or possibly a lingering disappointment that you have with somebody. You see, the heart, left unchecked, can nurture this seed. Now, we know what happens when you nurture a seed. It's just like the farmer who goes out, he plows his field, you know, often in the off season, he may cultivate, fertilize, in his fields, and then he plows, and then he puts the seed in there, and he makes sure that the seed is watered. He makes sure that the fields are irrigated. He nurtures that seed, and when he nurtures that seed, what happens? He gives it every chance possible to spring forth and to grow and to produce whatever fruit of that seed may produce. Now, notice what I said a moment ago. I said the heart, when left unchecked, can nurture this seed. Now, what seed are we talking about today? Today, we're talking about the seed of bitterness, okay? Over time, what was once a fleeting feeling transforms into a very persistent root, wrapping itself around our thoughts and wrapping itself around our emotions. Every time I read this, I think about, you know, times when I've been, you know, doing a little gardening, as it were. I probably should call it landscaping rather than gardening. But there were some times when I had some of these bushes that we wanted to get out and put something else there. And I can still remember, yeah, cutting it off is easy. You can cut it off at the top. The problem is you've got to get the roots out to keep the tree or the bush from coming back. And I'm going to tell you one thing, that was another chore, because what happens is roots go deep. You know, like I mentioned a moment ago, in our case we're talking about today, those roots of bitterness can wrap themselves around our thoughts, can wrap themselves around our emotions in the same way that the trees or bushes, you know, get down into the ground and wrap themselves around anything that they can to hold on tightly so that the winds don't blow them over, so that they don't get pushed aside. The soil packs itself down around them and they're holding on for dear life. Now, the writer of Hebrews, you know, calls this the root of bitterness, all right? Something that springs up unexpectedly, causing trouble and defiling many people. You see, folks, bitterness is not just an isolated feeling. And that's what we've got to understand. Now, hear me good on this. Bitterness is not just an isolated feeling, but it's infectious. It is something that can spread. The scripture warns us that when bitterness is allowed to grow, notice that word, allowed to grow, it not only harms us, but it can also affect those that are around us. It can affect our children. It can affect our families. It can affect our church. It can affect our whole community. So you're not an island to yourself. I mean, over my years of ministry, so many times, I've had people sit in front of me and they say, well, I realize that this is not right or this is not biblical, but the only person I'm hurting is me. And I've always said, that is where you're wrong. You're not the only person that you're hurting in this regard. It winds up hurting the people that you know, the people that you love, the people that are around you, the people that have to function with you. Bitterness, when allowed to take root, can be incredibly destructive. So what are the effects of bitterness? I pray that as you hear these and as you evaluate your lives, I pray that these things are not found in your life. But I also pray that if they are in your life, that you and the Holy Spirit will deal with those today. So what are the effects of bitterness? What does bitterness cause when you allow it to take hold and allow it to take root in your life? Well, one of the things that it causes is spiritual decay. We all know what decay means. Decay means like something is rotting. And when something rots, it stinks and it's compromised structurally and every other way. But bitterness causes a spiritual decay, and it can lead to spiritual dryness. And what happens is it clouds our relationship with God. I didn't say you lose it. It can cloud that relationship with God, making it very difficult to experience His presence and to experience His grace. I've often said before that we can break fellowship with God. That doesn't mean we lose our salvation, but God could put us in the corner. I don't know if you remember those old days. Maybe you're too young to even remember those days, but I can still remember in elementary school that if you had done something wrong, you might get sent you had to put your face in the corner. You couldn't be a part. In other words, what that was doing was saying, you're not going to be a part of all the good things that are going on over here. Now, I'm not saying God's, whipping us in that regard, but when we sit back and the Lord says, hey, you need to correct this, and we don't, He can sit back and say, all right, you go over there and stand in the corner for a while, okay? And when we get that clouded vision between us and God, it's very difficult to experience His grace. And the more that we dwell on wrongs, the harder our hearts become. Now, think about it for just a moment, and I'm going to hit this when we get to the remedies, but think about what we do. Have you ever noticed that Satan wants you to keep rehearsing, the thing that causes bitterness in your life? Maybe that person, disappointed us, and we just keep on, playing it over and over in our heads. Well, the more we dwell on the wrong, the harder it becomes, and the harder our heart becomes, and it's tougher to bring about that forgiveness. You know why? Because basically what we're doing is we're talking ourselves into the fact that we are justified in our feelings of bitterness. And Satan loves to push those buttons, okay? Don't let him do that. So, what are the effects? First of all, we see spiritual decay. Second of all, there's relational strain. When bitterness is harbored in your heart, it erodes trust and it erodes intimacy. See, we may become defensive, we may become distant, and we might even become hostile. Our relationships wind up suffering as a result. Now, if you're honest with yourself, when I just mentioned those things, being defensive, being distant, or even being hostile, you sit back and say, yep, I've been there and done that. Maybe there's a relationship that you are thinking of, and that's exactly, what's happened, and you're like, okay, well, there's the sign of it right there, okay? So it can create and cause relationship strains, all right? What's another thing? Lack of peace. The book of Hebrews urges us to pursue peace with all people. Now, if you've been around me long enough, you know what I'm getting ready to say. All means all, and that's all that all means. Bitterness is fundamentally opposed to peace. It thrives on resentment. It thrives in conflict. And notice what the word tells us in Hebrew, pursue peace with all people. It's completely opposite of bitterness. You know, fundamentally, remember, peace likes resentment, it likes strife, it likes conflict. So, you know, what is something else that that this can cause us? It can cause us to have a lack of peace. All right, what's another thing? How about defilement of others? All right, the text warns us that many become defiled. Bitterness rarely stays hidden. It likes to crop its ugly head up. You know, it seeps into our words. It seeps into our attitudes. And it seeps into our actions. And it affects those that are around us. I mean, I know you've seen it in other people before. Sometimes it's harder for us to see it in ourselves. Maybe somebody has pointed that out to you before. And they said to you, man, I'll tell you one thing. You know, you've gone completely off the reservation. Yeah, and if we're honest with ourselves, we're like, okay, yeah, they're right. All these things are presenting themselves in who we are. So that those are some of the things that bitterness can cause in our lives. So what do we see that the Word tells us? The Word gives us the call to reconciliation and to forgiveness. God's solution to bitterness is not to simply ignore it and hope that it goes away. And I know that some of you watching today, you're very non-confrontational and you don't want to confront the situation, much less the people. But God's solution to this bitterness isn't to just simply ignore it, all right? His solution is to address it directly through reconciliation and forgiveness. Now, what does that look like? You know, I like to ask this question when somebody brings something to me that maybe they're struggling with. Deep down inside, I believe they know and understand the right answer. They know what they're supposed to do. They know what the Lord is telling them to do. And a lot of times I will sit back and say, okay, you know, what does reconciliation look like to you? Well, they don't want to use the word forgiveness because they don't want to have to forgive someone else. They're still trying to justify they have the right to hold on to it. But the book of Hebrews tells us to look carefully lest any root of bitterness spring up. Now, what that requires on our part is vigilance and intentionality. It is so easy to sit back and take something that somebody says and we can sit back and say, well, I can't believe they just said that to me. That irritates me. That makes me mad. They shouldn't have said that. And remember what I said about rehearsal? We keep going over it and over it and over it. And the more we do, the madder we get. The more we do, the more we're nurturing the roots of that bitterness to allow it to take hold in our hearts. Okay? So what do we do about that? How do we prevent those things from happening to us? Now, I said just a moment ago, it's going to take vigilance and intentionality. I like the word intentionality. You know what that means? That means we have to do it on purpose. Yeah. How do we make sure that bitterness does not thrive within our hearts? We're going to have to do it on purpose. And how do we do that? Number one is this, self-examination. We need to ask God to search our heart. You know, is there bitterness lingering from maybe some hurt from the past? You know, are there people in your life that you struggle to forgive? I promise you that when you ask yourself that question, when you examine yourself, you have to be honest with yourself. You know, the old poet that said, to thine own self be true. Listen, if you can't be honest with yourself, you can't be honest with anybody. And you ask God, you know, search my heart. Is there bitterness that's hanging around in there from where I've been hurt in the past? You know, we like to hold on to that statement, you know, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. Now, I'm not saying you don't be cautious, but are there things or people that you are struggling with, you know, from your past? You need to examine yourself. Second of all, you need to seek reconciliation. Oh boy, there's that big word. You need to take steps to make peace with others. Now, those aren't my words. Those are the words of the Lord, okay? This may involve some difficult conversations. It's going to involve humility, and it's going to involve a willingness not only to communicate, but to speak words, but you're going to have to be willing to listen and to understand. Now, I'll tell you something that really blows my mind. I've actually been involved in people that have had aught in their heart towards each other for years that has created that bitterness. And I'm talking decades. And then when the conviction got so bad, and I've sat down with both of the parties, including myself, and you know, it's been like, well, you know, I've been mad for 20 years at you over what, you know, and then somebody will say what it is, and it's so ironic that what it turns out to be a large majority of the time, like 90-95%, was it was a complete misunderstanding. You know, what was said wasn't heard and properly, or it wasn't communicated properly. And the beauty of it is they've walked away the friends again. The sadness of it is they lost 20 years of a friendship together. We don't need to do that, okay? You know what we need to do? The third thing we need to do, we got to practice forgiveness. Forgiveness is not a feeling, but a decision to release others from the debt that they owe us, whether they truly owe us or not. It is to release them of that debt. The word says in Ephesians 4:32, as Christ has forgiven us, so we are called to forgive, all right? Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Aren't those great words? Now, some of you that may be under conviction right now are going, no, I don't like those words. Yeah, but listen, the Lord knows what. That's why the word is a living word. It's quick. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. All right. Number four, we need to rely on God's grace. We cannot, did you hear me? Cannot uproot bitterness on our own. We need God's help. The same grace that saves us can heal us when we have those issues. You have got to carry it to God, all right? And some of you that may be in the middle of this right now, you're sitting back going, okay, so what do I do? You know, I don't want to hold on to bitterness. How is it that what are the practical steps for me to uproot bitterness in my life? Let me give you a couple of things, all right? First of all, pray regularly for those who have wronged you. And I know you're sitting there going, man, I don't want to do that. I don't want to pray for people who have wronged me. There's a reason why I'm upset. There's a reason why there's bitterness, and it's them. Well, the word tells us we need to pray for our enemies. So pray regularly, not just okay. Pray regularly for those who have wronged you, okay? All right, another thing we can do is we can refuse to rehearse offenses in our mind or our conversations. Now, this is the third time I mentioned this, and the reason why is because it is incredibly important. Think about it. You get by yourself, somebody has offended you or whatever, you keep playing that scenario over and over and over in your mind, and what do you do? Do you become a more forgiving person, a more understanding person? No. You start to become enraged. The more you rehearse this, the more you go over it, the more you're trying to justify your right to hang on to bitterness, to hang on to anger, or whatever else. Stop rehearsing offenses in your mind or in conversations that you have with people. All it does is serves as fuel for the fire of bitterness. Stop doing that. And then some of you are sitting back going, well, I don't do that. Well, if you go back and look, I guarantee you that you have. And I pray that you can catch that and you can stop it before it becomes a pattern of allowing to nurture the seed of bitterness in your life. Another thing you can do is you can replace bitterness with acts of kindness. Even when it is difficult to do, do something kind. We've all heard that expression, kill them with kindness, okay? Well, you know what? That's exactly what I say is a good thing to do. Whether they appreciate it or not, that's not them. This is about you and God, all right? Replace that bitterness in your heart with acts of kindness, even if it's something that's difficult to do. This is a step. I'll call it a recovery step. That's the best way to say it, okay? And then finally, what we can do is we can surround ourselves with a community of people that encourages healing and accountability. You notice I use the word community a lot because that's what the church really is. Are you surrounding yourself with a body of believers, a community, a church that encourages healing and encourages accountability? You know what? You got to have that accountability. We don't like accountability. Yeah, but you get at somebody in your life and they're sitting back going, okay, well, you know, I know you've been mad over at so-and-so over there, and we've been talking about it, and You know, how you doing? Are you having a forgiving heart and a forgiving spirit? Yes, I'm having a forgiving heart and a forgiving spirit. It's like, no, you're not either. I can tell right now. Get that accountability through a community of believers. Surround yourself with those that are going to encourage not only you, but encourage healing of bitterness. You see, folks, bitterness is a poison that, left unchecked, is going to bring spiritual decay and relational destruction. But by seeking reconciliation and embracing forgiveness, we can uproot that bitter root, allowing the grace of God to flow freely in our lives, okay? Yet let us heed the warning of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15, and let us choose peace. Let us choose holiness. Let us choose love, that we may not miss the glorious grace of God in our hearts and in our lives. I hope and pray that you will be able to do that, not only as we go through this year 2026, but each and every day of your life, okay? Let me pray with you, and then I'm going to tell you about what we're going to be doing for this week as far as our Bible reading and what we'll be looking at next week as we gather together on the Wednesday Bible study. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you today, we ask that you would search our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would reveal any root of bitterness that may have taken hold in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, I pray that you will give us courage to seek reconciliation. Lord, I pray that you will give us strength to forgive others as you have forgiven us. Lord, I also pray that you will give us the grace, the unmerited favor, to walk in peace with everyone. And Lord, may your love heal our wounds and restore our relationships for your glory. Not for us, but for your glory. And Father, we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, again, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us. Let me tell you what we're going to be looking at this week. You know, once again, we're going to be continuing our series on transforming turmoil, something that all of us have. And next week, we're going to look at finding, not only finding peace in the storm — that's what we're doing when we're trying to transform turmoil — but we're going to look at the power of forgiveness. Remember, we talked about that. Sometimes that could be a little tricky, but the power of forgiveness. So I want you to spend some time over in Matthew chapter 18, specifically verses 21 and 22. Next week, we're going to discuss the transformative power of forgiveness and how it can release us from the chains of anger and bitterness, leading us to healing and peace within our own lives. I pray that you'll be read up, studied up, and that you will join us again next week. As always, we want to invite you, if you don't have a church home or if you happen to be in the Oak Ridge, North Carolina area, stop by and see us. We would love for you to worship with us on Sunday. Our services start at 10:45 a.m. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina, and we have multiple other opportunities for discipleship, not only on Sundays, but throughout the week. We would love to see you come worship with us. God bless. Have a great week.